Okay, the idea is for you guys to keep doing that until I'm ready. So but we're okay. Have you ever had a blind date? Anybody ever have one of those? I did once. Had a blind date once. Did not work out very well. One of my college roommates had a high school friend coming to visit the campus and convinced me to take her out with him and his girlfriend on a double date, and assured me this was a very nice girl, prettiest girl in the class and all of that stuff, and not very tall, which works for me, except when it came time to get married, and then I threw that out the window. Anyway, he assured me, prettiest girl in the class, and I will never forget going with my friend John over to the girls' dorm to pick up his girlfriend and my blind date that I had never seen. Let's just say it was a long evening. I mean, it wasn't quite that bad, but... Our text for today, okay, enough of the, yeah, moving back. Our text for today tells the story of a blind date of sorts. It's the story of the Queen of Sheba going to visit King Solomon to see if all these rumors she had heard about him were true. So we're going to skip ahead in the Solomon stories to a rather romantic and mysterious event that occurred about 20 years into his reign. This event happened after Solomon's life-changing spiritual encounter with God, where he requested and received this gift of incredible wisdom. Reports of his wisdom and his great wealth, which was also a gift from the Lord, had circulated far beyond the borders of Israel. He had become also known for his prolific production of proverbial sayings, which we now have gathered in the book of Proverbs, and songs that he wrote. He had an amazing grasp of the natural world. He had completed the great work of his life, the majestic temple in Jerusalem that would rival any wonder of the ancient world. He also completed a 13-year building project of his own temple. He had led people, the people of Israel, in a dedication celebration at the completion of the temple that was perhaps the most glorious worship experience for the people of Israel since Sinai. He built a mighty merchant fleet on the shores of the Red Sea. And that merchant fleet brought wealth from far countries back to Israel. His ships brought back fine gold, silver, exotic animal life from faraway places like Ophir. Now, I have a map so you can see how this kind of worked. On the map here, the fleet was built actually on the shores of the Red Sea. And so as the fleet sailed down the Red Sea and far beyond, but one of their stops was this little nation called Ophir. And beside or bordering Ophir was the kingdom of Sheba. So that you can see where everybody's coming from here. That brings us to the text for today. And I'm just going to read 1 Kings chapter 10, verses 1 through 9. When the queen of Sheba heard about the fame of Solomon and his relation to the name of the Lord, she came to test him with hard questions. Arriving at Jerusalem with a very great caravan, with camels carrying spices, large quantities of gold and precious stones, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all that she had on her mind. Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. And when the queen of Sheba saw all the wisdom of Solomon and the palace he had built, the food on his table, the seating of his officials, the attending servants in their robes, his cupbearers, and the burnt offerings he made at the temple of the Lord, she was overwhelmed. She said to the king, "The report I heard in my own country about your achievements and your wisdom is true. But I did not believe these things until I came and saw with my own eyes. Indeed, not even half was told me. In wisdom and wealth, you have far exceeded the report I heard. How happy your men must be. How happy your officials who continually stand before you and hear your wisdom. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you and placed you on the throne of Israel. Because of the Lord's eternal love for Israel, he has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness." At the end of verse 5, as we read, it's reported, she was overwhelmed. That's from the New International Version. The New American Standard Bible translates that a little differently, very literally. There was no more spirit in her. That's almost word for word, pretty close to what the Hebrew text, how it words that phrase. There was no more spirit in her. But literal isn't always that helpful in conveying the meaning of Scripture and of a passage. And that's kind of true here. So Eugene Peterson, in his translation, The Message, translates that phrase, "It took her breath away." And I think Peterson gets it right. No doubt the queen was impressed by all the wealth, all the pomp and circumstance that she saw in Jerusalem. But I really doubt that's what made the biggest impact. I doubt that's what took her breath away. What was it? What took her breath away? I have a few ideas. First, the king drew out of her the deepest heart questions. It says in verse 2, she came to Solomon and talked with him about all she had on her mind. And that word translated mind in the NIV, levav in Hebrew, refers to the inner person. It can be the will or the mind, or most often it's translated heart. That's the way we think of it, her heart. The inner person. The questions she had for Solomon were far more significant than science and math questions. Oh, I could see her starting with some questions like that. But Solomon somehow inspired her, somehow gave her the courage to ask the real questions, the deep philosophical questions that weighed upon her heart, questions of purpose, of meaning, of life. Questions about suffering, questions about love, questions that keep people up at night, questions that once voiced revealed the innermost part of her being that no man had ever known. So I wonder, what are the deep questions of your heart? What weighs upon your mind? Questions of life, purpose, meaning. Questions that once you reveal, once are voiced, reveal the innermost part of your being. Well, as it turns out, there's someone greater than Solomon who beckons you to come and ask. There's another son of David who welcomes your questions and draws out your most intimate secrets and longings, things in you no man has ever known. Do you remember that story in the Gospel of John? It's in chapter 4 where Jesus meets this woman, a Samaritan woman, at the well. Do you remember that story? Do you remember how he drew her out by asking her to draw water for him? He knew that she was thirsty, that she longed for living water that would give her dead-end life new life would begin with a question about water led to an intimate conversation about life and love. Jesus drew it right out of her. And that Samaritan woman was changed forever by her encounter with Christ. That kind of begs the question, doesn't it? How do we take our deep questions to Christ our Lord? I guess the obvious answer is we pray. But not just pray in a sort of superficial way. We cry out in wonder or joy or pain or confusion. And we make room for quiet solitude so that we might hear His voice. And the primary means of hearing His voice is through reading His story and His teachings in the Gospels and learning to hear the quiet whisper of the Holy Spirit. Most of us read the Bible, I think at least some. But do you read the Gospels to hear His response to the real questions, the deep questions of your life? Why am I here? What's the purpose of my life? Is this it? Or is there more? Where am I headed? Is there some hope for the days of my life that I'm given on this planet? And is there something to hope for at the end of my life? How can I make a difference in this world? Who will love me in spite of my faults and limitations? And who can I love? In verse 3, Lord Solomon answered all her questions. Nothing was too hard for the king to explain to her. Another way to translate that one phrase would be, nothing was hidden from the king. He knew more than the schoolbook answers. Nothing in the heart of the queen was hidden from Solomon. He spoke to the deepest needs of her heart, and Christ came to do exactly the same thing for you, for me. His word penetrates the smoke screen of our superficial, meaningless existence to address the doubts and fears and hopes and dreams of our inner person, our soul, our heart. The Queen of Sheba traveled across the desolate Arabian Peninsula on the back of a camel to hear Solomon's wisdom, to hear his voice. Will you turn the pages of the New Testament? Will you open up the Gospels and read and listen for the voice of a far greater king? What took her breath away? The king called forth the deepest part of her heart to reveal the questions that she struggled with. What took her breath away? The king exceeded her wildest expectations. In verse 7, we read, in wisdom and wealth you have far exceeded the report that I heard. She heard the rumors of Solomon's wisdom and fortune, but she didn't believe it. Rumors are always exaggerated. She had to check them out for herself. So she makes the trek across the desert on the back of a camel to Jerusalem to discover the truth, and his wisdom and wealth far exceeded the rumor. His architectural accomplishments dwarfed the stories that she had heard. The temple held more gold than she had ever seen under one roof. No expense had been spared in furnishing it. The wealth of his kingdom was unparalleled. Silver was as plentiful in Jerusalem as stones, the scripture tells us. The royal stables housed 12,000 horses. The grandeur of his court was beyond anything she could imagine. And she was no pauper herself. His wisdom and knowledge spanned the gambit from the natural world to the arts to philosophy to the spiritual world to the depths of the human heart. Never had she imagined such a man as King Solomon. He exceeded her wildest expectations. What have you heard about this Jesus? Have you heard rumors of His power, of His wisdom and love? Have you heard that He can transform broken lives into productive people? Have you heard that He can bring forgiveness to those who cannot forgive themselves? Have you heard that He can inspire joy even in the midst of suffering? Have you heard that He comforts the inconsolable? Have you heard that He's coming again to complete what He's begun on earth and in the hearts of those who put their faith in Him? Have you heard that He calls men, women, Jews, Gentiles, white, black, brown into one sacred community of faith and love? It is worth the trek through the Gospels to find out for yourself if the rumors are true. Is there really a God who became human, who knows your innermost being, knows it all, and still loves you with a divine love that never stops, never gives up? Many have doubted, even scoffed at the claims, but upon making the spiritual trek for themselves, discovered a Savior, a King that far exceeded the rumors. What took her breath away? Well, the King exceeded her wildest expectations. What took her breath away? In the end, mostly, God's love. That's what took her breath away. Verse 9. Praise be to the Lord your God, who has delighted in you, she says, and placed you on the throne of Israel, because the Lord's eternal love for Israel, He has made you king to maintain justice and righteousness. Now the queen got it right. All the wonderful things that she saw and experienced in Jerusalem, well, that was God's doing, not any human king. She recognized that Solomon's wisdom, his insight, his wealth, his power came directly from the Lord God. And she makes that connection. It all came from the Lord's eternal love for Israel. It isn't the king that she praises, but the Lord God. She saw how God had blessed Israel, how He loved Israel with this eternal love. And it was the love of God that took her breath away. It's God who enables a person to rise to become a leader. And a spiritual man or woman never forgets the source of the blessings for his or her life. A spiritual leader must never cease giving thanks to God. And at this point in Solomon's life, he was a spiritual man with a thankful and humble heart. The title of the whole series is Solomon, the Rise and Fall of a Spiritual Man. He's still on the rise. He still is a man with a humble heart, giving thanks to God. Sometimes it takes someone outside your kind of circle of influence to point out the truth. Sometimes people coming in from outside can see things in your life that you miss, or you take for granted, or you've forgotten about. Sometimes it takes someone from the outside to come in and tell you the truth. And the truth is, we are blessed. We are blessed. And we would do well to focus on the blessing and give thanks more and maybe complain a little less. Finally, one other thing the queen understood. She understood God's purpose for Solomon. And that purpose, the purpose of God putting Solomon on the throne, was to maintain justice and righteousness. Remember now, when we started out this series, remember, Solomon is really more of a steward than a king, a steward of God's kingdom of Israel. His purpose was to uphold God's justice and righteousness. He was not put on the throne simply to advance his own cause, to accumulate riches for himself, to please himself with every possible pleasure. He was in the position to serve God's mission. What position has God given you in life? Does someone call you boss? Or dad? Or mom? Or chairperson? Or coach? Or captain? Or teacher? Or maybe simply friend? They're all positions in life, and there are many more. And your position is given so you can advance His mission. And God's agenda is for His people to be looking out for others, doing good in the world. That's His agenda. And the greatest good is pointing the way to the King, who is Christ our Lord. Well, I really kind of got into this story of the blind date of Queen of Sheba going to see Solomon and how that was all going to work out and what she learned and what she gained for that and what's revealed to us about God. You know, Jesus mentioned her in the New Testament in Matthew chapter 12, verse 42. And the setting of that is Jesus was being rejected by many of the religious leaders of his time and his day. And he turns and he says, "The queen of the south," that's the queen of Sheba, "the queen of the south will rise at the judgment with this generation and condemn it. For she came from the ends of the earth to listen to Solomon's wisdom, and now one greater than Solomon is here." One greater than Solomon is still here. I'm afraid that too often live behind walls, emotional walls. We're terrified someone might gain access to our true selves. And we're afraid. I mean, what would they think if they knew that I... God gave Solomon this mysterious power to know the heart of this queen, and it took her breath away. We go to psychotherapy to confess our sins and desires and fears, or we post them anonymously on some internet message board, or we lock them away deep in a vault in our heart and pretend they don't exist. We hope someone will care, but we're afraid someone will know. Don't you want someone who can draw out your most intimate questions and fears and hopes? Someone who will far exceed your wildest expectations. Someone who loves you with a divine love. Well, there's a rumor about this king. Let's pray. Lord God Almighty, I suspect the truth about most of us is that we want to be known, but we're afraid. So, Lord God, help us to make the trek, to come to your throne, to take the risk of asking the deepest questions of our heart and being known by you. Lord God, remind us of the incredible love that you have for us. Even when we're not happy with ourselves, when we're so afraid of rejection, draw us out. Draw us to your own heart. And I pray, Lord God Almighty, that we would come to a place of having our breath taken away out of your awesome love and grace. In Jesus' name, amen.